1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Wednesday edition of the program, should the Bears trade Nick Foles? The Eagles are connected. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Mike North, the Sports Talk radio legend and the host on the Bears Ballroom, ESPN 1000, and Win Daily Sports. We talk with him at length about what the Bears are doing moving forward, his career, and so much more. Believe me, it's an interview you won't want to miss, and it comes up near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDabbitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ryan McDabbitt is ready to help you combine home and auto, save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Ryan today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. What's the purpose of a backup quarterback? Why do they exist? What function do they serve in the NFL? To me, there are three things. That's it. Reliable backup option. Safety net. Not paid a lot of money. Oh, that's right. And to come in whenever your team needs you. You don't know when you'll enter a game. But the hope is you can be serviceable. No one's asking you to be Pat Mahomes. If you were Pat Mahomes, you wouldn't be a backup. But teams are expecting you to be a good game manager. The game plan will shift whenever a backup is in. It'll revert to the run game. And the backup will be asked to not turn the ball over and to do what he can offensively until the starter is back and ready. That's the definition of a backup quarterback. I want to emphasize the fact that I said not paid a lot of money. See, the Bears are in a bit of a pickle here. As if you didn't know already. I mean, if you've been living under a rock for the past couple of weeks, I'll refresh your memory as to what they've done at the quarterback position. They let Mitch Trubisky go. He signed as a backup for $2.5 million. They brought in Andy Dalton, who was a backup, to be the starter. And they kept Nick Foles, the original backup, for $12 million. Does any of that make sense? Want me to run through it again? They let their starter go, who became a backup. They brought in a backup to become the starter, and the original backup is still there making more money than the starter. Only in Chicago. That's it. Only in Chicago would that be happening to the quarterback position. Mitch Trubisky, ironically enough, is the best backup in the NFL. certainly better than Nick Foles. Even Andy Dalton, to an extent. Certainly better. And the best part is he's making the least amount of money out of all three guys. How in the world does that make sense? That's right, Ryan Pace overpays for quarterbacks. In case you haven't noticed already. The main point is, though, one of those quarterbacks on the Bears could have a potential trade possibility. It's Nick Foles. Believe it or not, Nick Foles is involved in trade rumors, and his old team wants him. Philadelphia. The Eagles want Nick Foles back. According to BearsWire.USAToday.com and Jeremy Fowler, the Bears could look to trade Foles, and the Eagles could be a potential landing spot to back up Jalen Hurts. We all know they love Foles out there. We all know what he meant to that team. Six-game run, Super Bowl, I've heard it 1,000 times. Now there's interest in a reunion. What will the Bears do? So my poll on YouTube, Sports Talk Chicago YouTube page, would you trade Nick Foles? That's all I asked. And a resounding majority said yes. There was one comment that said, I like Foles, I don't want him gone. Everybody else said yes. And I agree. If the Bears could get anybody, I'm saying anybody, for Nick Foles, do it. Sixth round pick, seventh round pick, money, someone take care of his contract, whatever it might be. Do it. Do not hesitate. Because I'll tell you this much. If I were GM, I would not want my backup quarterback to be making $12 million. To make more than my starter. Foles came in here to be a serviceable backup. What were those attributes again? Good safety net. Come in at any time. Not costly. None of that's happened. It's been a horrible safety net. He almost cost the Bears a playoff spot last year. If it wasn't for Mitch, it wouldn't have happened. 10 touchdowns, 8 picks, 7 games. Get out of here. In his defense, not as bad as Cam Newton. Cam, 8 touchdowns, 10 picks, and 15 games, all starts, but still. You can't be doing that. Not when Mitch put up better numbers. And now he's been driven out of town. See that? So funny. The guy who led the Bears to a playoff appearance is gone. No one wants him, apparently. And the guy who nearly cost the team a playoff appearance is still on the roster. And getting paid handsomely. Handsomely. Sickening. That is sickening, and a change needs to happen. There are very few people who have said publicly, don't trade Nick Foles. And to those, I tell you, what did you watch last year? I'm asking. What told you in the games that he played, we really need him? The Bears would be lost without him. The number one attribute of a good backup is cost. You can't be paying your backup more than your starter. Can't be doing that. Not how it works. The Bears have done it already, too. They must be the only organization that I've seen do that. Mike Glennon, $18 million for 5 starts. Are you kidding me? And now Nick Foles. $24 million when it's all said and done. $24 million. For what? And Andy Dalton is getting $10 million. The Bears have to get rid of him. They have to. Draft a quarterback. Keep Dalton. Keep Tyler Bray. Who cares? And have them compete for the job. Nick Foles cannot be a part of this team. It's only fair, first of all. It's only fair. If you get rid of Mitch Trubisky, who led you to a playoff appearance, why would you keep the guy who got in the way, right? Why keep the roadblock when you already got rid of the car? Let it all go. Don't let the backup quarterback make more money than the starter. Let the rookie learn under Dalton, or let the rookie win the job. And don't have Nick Foles on the books. That's an insane contract. You can't be paying him that much money to sit on the bench. Hell, I was mad when they paid Chase Daniel $5 million a year to sit on the bench. Anything more than that is ludicrous. Way too much money. The Bears have to find a trade partner. They have to. That would be my job if I were Ryan Pace. We all know Wilson, Watson, it's over. And we know that. We all know there are no more trades to engineer unless on draft night. So from today till the NFL draft, if I were Ryan Pace, I'd be calling everybody. Take him. Take Nick Foles. What do you want? There should be no hesitation with this. No reason why people should be wondering or questioning what to do with him. I don't know about you guys, but I've seen enough. I really have. And this is not me hating on Nick Foles. I've seen enough. The numbers don't lie. I don't need to see 10 touchdowns, 8 picks, 2-5 record again. I've seen enough. Trade him. Let Andy Dalton try to do something. Draft a rookie, see what he could do, and have it be so. Don't be paying Nick Foles lots of money to sit the bench or to actually start, which would be even more insane. Let him go. Find a partner. If you get anything for Nick Foles, it's a win. And again, to me, it's pretty funny. It really is. How crazy is this? The Bears let their starter go. He becomes a backup. They bring in a backup to be their starter, and the original backup is still there making more money than the starter. Only Ryan Pace, only Chicago. I swear, that's why it's imperative to let Nick Foles go. Please, somebody, take him, trade him. If I were Ryan Pace, I'd be on the phone right now, calling teams. What do you want? Take him. Philadelphia has interest? Take him. They love him over there. He'll be a backup. He'll be fine. He'll come in again maybe. Do another 5-6 game run. Great. Take him. No one here wants him. At all. We've all seen enough. Just like apparently we've seen enough of Trubisky, we've definitely seen enough of Nick Foles. That's a fact. We have. He doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. We know what he's capable of. Mediocrity. Good job. I'm skeptical of Andy Dalton, but I'd rather give him a chance because the Bears just signed him. And I don't want the Bears paying their backup quarterback more than their starter, whomever it'll be, whether it's Dalton or a rookie. That's insane. That's ridiculous. Only in Chicago, I swear. Nowhere else would this be happening. How in the world are you paying Nick Foles that money? And this isn't a one-time thing. It's a pattern. Mike Lennon, $18 million for a couple of starts in 2017. This is a reckless pattern. Reckless. And hey, I give Ryan Pace credit for all the moves he's made. He's made some good ones. Believe me. Khalil Mack, Roquan Smith, Eddie Jackson. He's drafted some good players. And he's been bold when he's made trades. But the fact is, you can't be shopping at the dollar store for a quarterback. You can't. You can't always reach for duct tape when you have a hole. Eventually, the hole has to be fixed. Duct tape's only going to hold for so long. It will come off. And if you keep reapplying it, nothing new is going to happen. It'll stay for a year, it'll fall off. It'll stay for 2 years, it'll fall off. At the end of the day, when you run out of duct tape, the hole is still there. The bear's hole is still showing. It's still there. Nothing's changed. I wish Andy Dalton the best, but the fact is, nothing's changed. He's not the savior for this team. Not at all. Something has to be done here. So if I were the Bears and there's anybody who expresses interest in Nick Foles or even Andy Dalton, I'm not kidding. Trade him. Let him go. Get a draft pick. Get some money. Have someone take the contract and draft someone at this point. Mitch is gone. You're not getting him back. And Deshaun Watson has too many issues now. And Russell Wilson is not going anywhere. Don't buy the hype. Adam Schefter saying, oh, well, I have to wait till after the draft. No, it's over. It's over. Don't buy into it. So at this point, it's all up to the Bears to make a decision. And if I were Ryan Pace, and I was told, we're interested in Nick Foles, what do you want for him? I'd say you could have him. I wouldn't even ask for anything back. I'd just say, have him. Here you go. Move on from this chapter. If you're that willing to move on from Mitch Trubisky, move on from Foles too. Start a new era in Bears football. Bring in Dalton. Bring in a rookie. Compete for the job. Let it be merit-based competition. Let it have nothing to do with contracts and money and who's making what. Have it be a fair competition. Because obviously at this point we all know Ryan Pace ain't going anywhere. I believe he has a contract extension, even though it hasn't been announced. So if the Bears are willing to stick with him and start a new era, start over, find a new quarterback, don't hang on to old relics. Because at the end of the day, they're going to do nothing for you. It'd be different if Foles was a legend. He's not. There's no nostalgia. There's no, oh my goodness, I can't get rid of him. No, you can't, and you should. He's expendable. Gone. That's it. We'll have to see how it plays out. But my hope is that if there's any interest for Nick Foles, Ryan Pace will pull the trigger right away, have no hesitation, and start the Bears off into a new era. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mike North comes up next. Stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free to bet on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. Must be 21 plus. Must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. Loyola is still alive. Did a video on them yesterday and on the radio program. They're still going. NHL's going on. NBA, this is a great time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. At sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a sports radio pioneer, host of The Odds Couple on ESPN 1000, and a contributor to the Bears Barroom and Win Daily Sports. Please welcome Mike North to the program. Mike, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. What's going on, my friend?
It's great to have you on. I've really missed you, especially with all this Bears stuff that's been going on. What was your reaction to the Andy Dalton signing, first off?
Well, it's ludicrous, but I'm used to it. Basically, I've been through this before. I mean, you know, everybody acts like the Bears tried to get Russell Wilson. You know, everybody tried to get Wentz, tried to get Watson. Thank God they didn't. Tried to get this guy, tried to get that guy. I heard over 10, 12 different quarterback scenarios over the summer. It was embarrassing. I mean, over the offseason, it was embarrassing. Who knows what's going to happen for the rest of the offseason? I feel bad for the people that believed in Foles. I feel bad for the credible talk show hosts who are very, very good at what they do, and the columnists who wanted this guy, then that guy, and that guy got caught up in just trying to jump on the news they thought was right. And at the end, you look foolish if you're backing five, six different quarterbacks. And as it turns out, for instance, Deshaun Watson, I mean, the way it's going and the issues that he has in Texas, I don't have to get into them. But the Bears didn't want a character guy like Mitch. But they went after other people. Now, I don't think they went after Watson as hard as people think. But Russell Wilson, he was the one guy that I wanted over Mitch. He was the guy that I thought was the best quarterback the year he was drafted. They didn't take him until the third round. Talking about Seattle, I thought the Bears could have taken him early, but what else is new? So now Andy Dalton comes to town, and he lost his magic years ago. He played with a better offense in Dallas. He played with Zeke Elliott, had a great offensive line, got pretty good facilities, the whole ball of wax, and they said, you know what, you just didn't get it done for us, so we're going to, you know, let you go. And he goes, man, I'm stuck probably for the rest of my life as a backup. And then all of a sudden the Bears called. He says, boy, when your ears perk up, you have to listen. And his ears are perked up, and now he's a starter. So it's amazing what's happened. The Bears have taken a 26-year-old quarterback with nothing but more promise. Gets better every year, in my opinion. Pro Bowl, 1 year. Playoffs, 2 years. 26 years old. And they let him go to Buffalo, where next year he'll go somewhere else or maybe stay with Buffalo, but he'll have a career for 10, 12, 14 years, and he's the best. And take it from me, folks, I've seen them all. He's one of the best top five backup quarterbacks who's ever played in the National Football League going into this year. There's nobody with his credentials that had his credentials as far as maybe Steve Young with Tampa Bay. But he couldn't do anything there. He carried a clipboard for Joe Montana. So this guy's going to carry a clipboard for our guy, Josh Allen, who's a pretty good quarterback, but Mitch will benefit from this.
Could he have been a starter elsewhere, Mitch, you think?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I think he could have, but we'll never know. We don't know anything. They don't tell us anything. Nobody says anything. Mitch hasn't been interviewed. But maybe he got a better deal somewhere else. I happen to think that this is a good strategy for him. I'm surprised he's not starting. It just makes me the stuff put out by the Bears, by the media, to make him look bad. As far as ludicrous stuff, like he's a bust. No, Tim Couch is a bust. Jamarcus Russell was a bust. Ryan Leaf was a bust. I mean, Cade McNown was a bust. I can go on forever. I can go on forever. You're not a bust if you're 29 and 21. A low point for Chicago Bear fans as far as IQ this year, and a low point for 80% of the media for their IQ this year. But most of them I know, they're not that smart to begin with. So, you know, it's the usual thing with them. But with the fans, this was a bad year for the Bear fans. They jumped at everything. They basically looked like somebody that was perusing the menu and couldn't make a decision for 20 minutes at a restaurant.
Why'd the media hate him? Why was there so much animosity towards Mitch Trubisky? I still don't understand it.
I think because Nagy and the Bears helped engineer it. You have company men that work for the media. There's no question about that. All you have to do is read certain guys and say, who are they talking about? And then you realize, oh, I know what they're talking about. They're talking about the Bears in a good way because they've been 30, 35-year-old lifers who, quite frankly, haven't had their own thought for a long time. They march to the beat of the Bears' drum. They think like Bear management. They back Nagy. They back Pace. Just look at them. People are less critical of Pace and Nagy than they are of Mitch Trubisky. I don't understand it, but he'll change that attitude. Buffalo's got the best fans in football. Buffalo is a Green Bay AFC town, small townish type of situation. Used to be bigger. It's the only game in town. He'll be a hero out there. And my prediction is, and I'd like to ask you this: if you give me 5-1 odds, I'll take Mitch. He's got to start a minimum of five. Got to start a minimum of five games.
Okay.
And they'll make the playoffs with Mitch, and the Bears won't. You give me 5-1. I put that out on my Bears bar room. I put it out on AM 1000, on the Odds Couple, and on the Mike North Advantage on Bears bar room. I said, any media member that wants to take me up on that, just DM me. And I, you know.
Did you get any DMs?
Nobody. Nobody. And maybe they'll say they don't know about it. They know about it. Nobody. The ESPN 1000 people are listening to us. People talk. Nobody wants that bet, because if Josh Allen gets hurt, and he could, because right. He's had a concussion, he's had injuries, they run, they call running plays for the guy. They got the best insurance policy maybe in the history of the NFL and Mitch Trubisky, because they'll make the playoffs even if Josh Allen gets hurt.
Let me ask you this. Was the media too harsh on Mitch compared to past
quarterbacks? Oh, absolutely.
Compared to past quarterbacks that you've seen with the Bears, like Kyle Orton, Rex Grossman, Cade McNown. How did they compare to Mitch and how they covered him?
They were much, much vicious, more vicious towards Mitch. And Mitch put up much, much better numbers than any of them. I'll give you the guy I can compare him to, though. Cutler, 8 years. If they had been as harsh on Mitch the first 5 years, but they weren't, because a lot of them would be out. They'd be out from covering the Bears. That's a lifelong tradition. If the Bears want to, they could put pressure on people. You know, I mean, we had reporters that used to cry that because of what I said on the air, they had trouble getting interviews. And I used to tell them too bad, too bad, because you know what? And there's some still working. I used to tell them too bad. If we don't do our job, you won't have a job to cover. Okay. So they were trying to say to the talk show hosts, certain reporters, hey, can you guys take it easy? You got to be a complete utter moron to say that. We were building the greatest sports station on earth, and I got some two-bit punk who's a reporter at the time telling us, I'm having trouble getting interviews. Like a little bitch. I put that one, and he knows who he is, and I put him to sleep really quick. But even Greeny, even Mike Greenberg and other guys had trouble, you know, would tell us that. But they understood the deal.
Right.
The actual 9, 10, 11, 12 hours on the score were more important than your one-minute soundbite, you doofus, you know? My God, I know they had a job to do. Can you tell McNeil to lighten up? Can you tell Boris to lighten up? And now you see the product now. They did it themselves.
What's the worst thing you've said about the Bears on air?
The interview with McCaskey.
What happened?
I basically told the owner to fuck off. I mean, he's the owner. He was the owner when he came on. I told him he was an idiot, told him he was silly, but the Bears are checkered with bad things that they've done. What they did to this guy, Trubisky, the whole league knows. The whole league knows what kind of guys they are. Nobody wants to play for Nagy. Andy Dalton was the best you could get. And you were throwing him a life preserver. So, you know, to save them. It's not funny, John. This is serious. The Bears are going to be pitiful next year. And you know what? Nobody's going to be laughing. And I found it amazing. I had to keep defending Mitch Trubisky, even now, over mindless people that cover the sport here in Chicago. I've had former players tell me they thought Nick Foles was better than Mitch Trubisky.
Wow.
And then I had players like Jay Hilgenberg and Mike Tomczak go, what's wrong with Mitch Trubisky? He's 29 and 21. So it's been a mixed bag. What really drives me nuts is people out of town that have no clue about Mitch Trubisky. And now they've all shut up because they actually thought Russell Wilson was going to come to the Bears. They have no idea. Out of town people that comment on the Chicago Bears have no idea unless they've been here for a while. Otherwise, just shut up, you know?
Right.
You don't know how – they don't know how this franchise works. You know, you're in Las Vegas or you're in California, L.A., and you're trying to tell Bear fans or Bear people like myself who've been doing this for four decades? What, Russ? He's going to Chicago. Shut up. You sound stupid.
Mike North here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, is this a fireable offense for Ryan Pace, this whole situation with Andy Dalton and with letting Mitch go?
Well, I blame Nagy for Mitch.
Okay.
I think Mitch was a good draft pick. And if you look at the scouting reports, a lot of people, and they won't say this now, but look back at the scouting reports, he was the number one guy on the board. But the bottom line is, just because another guy behind you becomes better. I mean, did everybody bitch at Miami? Or did anybody, because Elway was taken behind them? Or Kelly? No, Dan Marino made his own name. Jim Kelly made his own name. They all did their own thing. Bears, they don't want Mitch Trubisky to make his own name. He already made the playoffs two of the first 4 years. I mean, Troy Aikman was one and I want to say 15 his first year, or 1-13. I don't even know if they played 16. So I think it's good for Mitch because they're playing 17 name games now. What a bunch of hypocrites they are over this. They were talking about CTE and concussions and, oh, poor this guy, poor that guy. How about the suicides? We're playing 17 games. Let's add another game for safety concerns. How pitiful. But they got a brand new TV contract, which they're throwing at them at the risk of the players playing another game.
How do you feel about that? You know, I've had Jim McMahon on the program before, and he's told me many a time about his CTE and how it's affected him. Now you've got players who had a lawsuit against the NFL that supposedly has gone away for just more money and more games.
Oh, yeah, it's all posturing. It's a money grab. I mean, if the players were really concerned about safety, they wouldn't be playing 17 games.
Right.
But it's more money for them, maybe more roster spots. It's all posturing, but the league's a hypocritical group of liars, because all we heard is we're not going to add on more games. And then people said, well, how about 18 games? They're saying, oh, well, they wanted 18, so we're compromising. We're only adding another game that will further injure our players.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Mike, let me ask you this. Have you seen a worse GM when it comes to evaluating talent like Ryan Pace?
Oh, yeah, because I'll tell you what's going to save him. I blame the quarterback thing on Nagy. I think Nagy made Pace believe, because Pace hired him,
right,
or they that Trubisky wasn't the guy. I know you hired him, but he's not the guy. I know you drafted him, but he's not the guy. I got the guy. So he brings Foles in. Now, Foles was supposed to be Andy Dalton.
Exactly.
See, we got Andy Dalton because Foles didn't work out. If Foles works out, we don't have Andy Dalton. Mitch is out after game three. His career is probably over because the Bears threw him under the bus and Nagy's just a piece of crap. But Ryan Pace also got got Mack. He got Khalil Mack. He got Rokon Smith. He drafted Eddie Jackson. He drafted. Now, his mistake is throwing money at these guys too soon, at Jackson and a couple of these other guys, because they got the money after 1 year, which was so stupid to give Eddie Jackson, that now he's not as good as Doug Plank was last year. He wasn't. He wasn't good as a lot of Bear safeties. Rosie Taylor, Gary Fensick, the year before, he was as good. But he had a Mark Carrier type of situation. Mark Carrier had 10 interceptions his first year. After that, nothing. Nothing. And so, if anything, he's guilty of jumping the gun, paying these guys, the Bears are, but they wanted to tie him up. They thought they were special. But if you look at his drafts, besides the quarterback spot, which I think Mitch Trubisky is going to be a star in this league. It's a one-year deal. He had his career ripped from him. His heart ripped from him in game three, and now he's on a Super Bowl contender, and the Bears are going to go 4-12 or 5-. Nobody's going to tell me they're making the playoffs. And all these people that want to Mitch out, they're all responsible. So just put them in your head. I don't care if you listen to the TV, if you listen to the radio, if you listen to local, if you listen to national, if you read the papers, jot down on a piece of paper who the guys were that helped the Bears, who the people were that helped the Bears push this narrative, And you'll see most of them have been Bear ball washers or Bear, you know, they've been sucking on the Bears' nuts for it since they've been in the league as writers. Oh, there's no doubt. They suck on their nuts and they go, tastes minty.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how they are. Believe me, the day Dalton was traded to the Bears and then the comments on Twitter.
Right.
I couldn't believe there were actually people trying to rationalize this. And it, while the Bears go from 40-1 to 50-1, only they could pick up a quarterback and the odds would go up.
You know, I saw so many people, and that's a great point, Mike, so many people saying this was okay. I saw people saying that this was building up the offense for the future, and they were doing the right thing here. I didn't understand that.
Do you want to know something? I played a game. I put down who I thought would like the deal and who I thought wouldn't.
Okay.
I put down 12 names. I was only wrong on two. And seven of them I thought would, six of them said, I said would like the deal. I was wrong on one. I was right on five. Wow. You know, one guy works for The Athletic. One guy works for the Sun-Times. One guy works for a radio station. Usual cast of company men who think that they're individuals who basically have caused some, a lot of these guys, you know how they always call newspaper people legends, you know, if a writer retires or if a writer dies.
Sure.
How do you call anybody a legend that when he started at the newspaper had 200 pages, now they have 60? You ain't a legend. You helped it to its demise. I was there. And they have this, because of unions, they have the same boring ass people writing that nobody's been reading for years, and that's why there's 50 pages left in the paper.
And out of those pages, you know, a lot of these writers, I would say, have caused the Bears to be where they are today and have caused the misery in the fan base. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. The Sun-Times and the Tribune are Bear-friendly, are management-friendly. They'll take some shots, but just like John Paxson, only in this city would a GM with his record be allowed to last 17 years because of the gutlessness of the people that cover him. Because if you gave John Paxson a beating in the paper, okay, right, you'd be gone within 3 months. And or if you're a guy that's a decent writer, keeps his nose clean, criticizes the Bulls every so often, then you work for the Bulls eventually, like Casey Johnson. Or like Sam Smith, and I like Casey. He's got to make a living. But he will never write like he wrote before. He will never be able to write like he wrote before. And I had Casey on all the time, and I think he's a talented writer, and he's got to look out for himself. I understand that. Okay? But and the same thing goes for Sam Smith. Sam works for him now. These guys were out. So they had to go find jobs, and Jerry Reinsdorf's done a good thing. They work for the team now. So they can put whatever they want, and I still love Casey. They can put whatever they want down. But when you read them with the fact that you know that maybe this guy's not working for the Tribune anymore, this guy's not working for the Sun-Times anymore, this guy's not working for a station anymore. This guy is working for Jerry Reinsdorf, writing for the home team newspaper. There's a credibility that's gone there no matter what. But I think they know that, and they do the best they can.
Would you ever take a job like that?
Never. They wouldn't want me anyway because I would never be able to write something or say something that would go against what I feel. I wouldn't be able to sleep. But there's plenty of guys that sleep, and a lot of people in different positions than me. I made big, big money. I saved big money. I made money outside of this.
Right.
You know, my wife bought Starbucks stock in 92, 93, 94. Big time. So I don't need it. So I understand why some guys who, these newspapers have just dwindled, but partially because of them. Who wrote for the newspapers in the 90s? After the score came around, which helped the demise, who wrote? Look at the people that wrote in the 90s or 2000. They're still around. It's the same bad play every year that nobody goes to see. And it's less pages every year, period. I delivered the paper. I delivered the Tribune when I was 12, 13, 14 years old. Wow. The paper was the Sunday and Thursday papers. I mean, I was a half pint. I couldn't throw a third floor. I couldn't throw a third floor yet. I had to walk them up. It was like holding on to granite. Now they're like those pamphlets that you put around the doorknob. You go to JoJo's car wash. That's how skinny they are. And then everybody goes, oh, so-and-so died. He was a legend. Well, no, he wasn't. The sports section was 30 pages when he was there. Now there's five. And they're paying off these guys off and letting them go, and girls off, ladies off and letting them go. So the newspaper industry is probably, I know they have the internet now and stuff like that, but the newspaper, a lot of people still read it. My wife still reads it. I just go on my Twitter now, but I'm not going to say, somebody says you could buy this paper or the Tribune for $3.50 a month. Are you kidding me? There's so much information now, which upkills the newspaper now, but that you don't need it. There's still people, though, that like to read the newspaper, and it's a good thing. It really is, and it's a part of Americana that should never go away.
You know, you used to write for a newspaper, too, with the Daily Herald. Would you ever do that again?
Oh, I wrote for the Sun-Times.
Right.
But I had my own page. I wrote for the Sun-Times. I wrote my own page. I brought in six figures for two, three years for the Sun-Times. I designed it and everything. Nobody in Chicago could get that deal now. The Sun-Times go, well, we can't pay you. You're not in the union. I go, don't worry about it. We both made money. We both made big money on that. But there's not too many people, radio guys that, or TV guys that could say, you know, I'm not working here anymore, but I'd like to get a newspaper account. First of all, what I did is I designed it where I had this Village of Rosemont. I had Gale Street Inn. I had Lindholm. It was like a hockey thing. My column was in the middle of the page, me and Jiggs. And then we had the ads as the borders, like they do in hockey.
Sure.
You know? So that worked out. Then I also, I love the newspapers. I just don't love what the people that have ruined them, period. How about the people? I'll give you a guy. This is great. I'll give you a guy that caught the best break of his life. Skip Bayless. Skip, God bless him, is going to sign for $8 million. You know, $8 million bucks. God bless him. That's awesome. But when he came here, he thought he was going to take over this town. And there was a group of guys named McNeil, North, Boers, okay, Jiggets, Scher. And then you also had at that time, if you remember, Jay Mariotti at the other paper.
Right.
So Skip Kemp comes here, does a decent job, but gets lost. Gets lost. Doesn't work out. So then he goes somewhere else, and this is what he ended up doing. So that's a lesson to everybody. Keep the hustle. That's what I did. That's what Skip did. That's what a lot of people do. You never know what's going to happen. You never know. There's no way in hell. I wouldn't pay Skip Bayless $80,000 to do a debate show. Because, but people spend crazy now. People spend crazy now. People spend crazy back with me. I understand. And Mancow and Dahl. But Skip Bayless was the third or fourth guy in this town. He was, if he was lucky. And he went somewhere else and got him. But he's not worth that kind of money. Nobody is. And was I worth 1.5 at the time? Well, since it was my vision to start the station, and since CBS bought the station based on me and Jiggs and the three shows that were there, and then I went and got the money, I guess I was. But Skip Bayless, he had a home run, good for him. But I wouldn't pay Skip $100,000 to do a debate show. Honest to God. There's a million guys that you could get that could do that job. Just like I wouldn't pay Tony Romo $17 million. I don't get up in the morning and go, what time? I don't get up in the morning and say, what time's Tony Romo doing the game? That was, you don't pay. You pay guys like Cosell, Kurt Gowdy, you know, big time guys. Tony Romo, to me, if he left tomorrow, I stopped listening to games because of the announcers. And for Jim Nantz to want $17 million, be lucky you got a gig. He's one of the worst football announcers, great golf announcer, but he's just too relaxed. And you know what? He has a hell of a schedule, and it's gotten away from him. He had a bad year doing football. Pretty decent year doing golf.
What's your favorite interaction that you've had with Skip Bayless before?
Boy, that was a long time ago. We didn't visit much. There was a respect there.
Sure.
But we didn't visit much. I only had Mariotti once or twice on. That's after he got launched. I tried to, Bayless. They got out. It turned out good for Skip, not so good for Jay.
Why do you think that happened?
Just because he rubbed people's faces in it, burnt bridges with people. Whites, that's what happens. They'll get the black ball bad on you. Plus, he also had some issues with, domestic issues, but he had an incident in California where he was abusive to a woman. Reportedly, allegedly. I don't know. I wasn't there. But that's not good, right? Especially when you run around the horn. So if he doesn't do that incident with the woman, then he's still working there, I think. But some people don't get the opportunities to fail or to screw up as much as other people. There's some guys that get 5 chances, some people get 6 chances, and some people only get 1. But you better make the best of that 1 chance.
How do you feel about that? Here in Chicago, there's been a big emphasis right now, especially on the Mark Giangreco situation and cancel culture and all this stuff going on. What's your take on that personally?
Well, I think if it was me, I think what happened was this. First of all, I know Cheryl Burton.
Right.
She's a public league young lady. And I know Cheryl, a nice lady. No Mark. Just ran into him not that long ago. We talked for about 10 minutes. But I think he was on what they call the short leash because of other transgressions that had happened in the past. Plus, her and him did not like each other.
Sure.
And he never patched it up. She never patched it up. And I got to be honest with you. Usually this would hurt Cheryl Burton. I don't know what kind of messages she's getting from people or what have you, but I haven't heard anything. And Channel 7, I've always said this, Channel 7 was great with Dwayne Dow, with Bill Frank. Okay. So Mark Giangreco coming from Channel 5 to Channel 7, Mark Giangreco at 5, when Johnny Morris was in town, wasn't even number 1. Mark Giangreco, ABC 7 will survive without Mark, but I thought I don't know what kind of, paper trail he's got with issues at work.
Right, right.
But he's done some things that he's been around forever, so it's bound to happen. But I thought basically for this thing, they should have tried to patch it up. He should have been suspended for 2 weeks or whatever and brought back. But with 18 months on the deal, sometimes you see things happen like this. Not saying, he made his own bet on this, but I thought it was a little harsh, period. And as far as just this goes, but I don't have the other information.
Mike North, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, what's your favorite memory of covering the Bears?
Oh, 85. But I wasn't covering them. So I'll say the best year of covering the Bears was 92 for the Score. Even though Ditka was on his way out, he looked exhausted. We had the Ditka Show on every week. The station came to prominence largely because of the lineup, but hugely because of the people that they hired, Danny Lee and Seth Mason hired, which you'll never see again, from Gary Fensick to to Mike Ditka, who every Tuesday would have a shout fest for an hour and a half with different hosts. That was my most fun. And then I had fun when the Bears got rid of Ditka and everybody went to Platteville with their shows. And I went to La Crosse with the Saints and we got a sponsor. An old style sponsored us. We kicked ass. And American Airlines. We made nothing but money. So they actually said, you go cover Ditka with your show, you and Jigs, and the rest of us will go to Platteville. It was great. I think I went to Platteville too. I don't think we did it at the same time, But I got to go to lacrosse, and Ditka came on. Heath Shuler came on. All the Saints came on, you know. I mean, that was my sort of, like, protest for what they did. And, boy, was I right again. You know, if the Bears were the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ditka would probably still be coaching. Because they don't get rid of their coaches. The Bears get rid of their coaches every 2 years. The Steelers get rid of their coaches every 15. I mean, Tomlin, Cowher, no. That's it. From the 70s, 50 years. From the 70s, 79, 76, 86, 96 tools. You're talking 54 years. How many coaches have they had? Three, four? Come on. That's how you run an organization.
What's your favorite memory or interaction or story with Mike Ditka?
Oh, God. I got a lot of them. He didn't talk to me for a year. We went by each other on an escalator. He was going down. I was going up. I go, how you doing, coach? He wouldn't even look at me. He was mad at me. That's when he said that he thought the Saints would beat the Bears, and I had everybody call his restaurant and voiced their disapproval. I gave him out the number of the restaurant. He honestly didn't talk to me for a year. The Ditka restaurant phone lines were jammed. Instead of taking reservations, they were saying, well, how could you do this and how could you do that? So he didn't talk to me for a year, but we've been friends forever. And I got a DUI the night I was with him driving home. I got I beat it eventually, but, you know, whenever you get a DUI, it's no fun. And geez, all the times we visited. My favorite story is the first time I met him. I think I've told this before to people, but my mom and dad, I kept telling them, my dad had never registered, you know, because my dad knew I was a high school dropout. My dad knew that, you know, he was hoping I could just scratch out a living. So all of a sudden, I own the hot dog stands. I work for the city. I'm doing well back in the day. At one time, I worked for the city and owned one of my hot dog stands at the same time. I mean, I actually, if I sold the hot dog stands, would have taken a pay cut to join the score at the beginning. But I told my dad, listen, I'm on this new radio station. He looked at me like, what? I go, I'm on this new radio station. It's called The Score. We're going to start January 2nd. Huh? He opens up the papers January 2nd. His son's on the inside of the first page of the Chicago Sun-Times with the rest of the lineup. So now he's starting to get the idea. Then he goes to the hardware store. And somebody goes, Donnie, your kid sounds great. He goes, hey, what do you want? He's getting free stuff because I'm on the radio. So now he's into this. But then I said to him, listen, you got to come to the Ditka show. And my mom goes, well, what's that? And I go, it's on every Tuesday. And we have rotating hosts. And I said, I'm going to host next week. Me and him. You got to come. And my dad goes, all right, we'll see. You know, that's how we'll see. I might be busy. Anyway, they come to the O'Hare Cumberland Ditkas, which used to be right off the expressway there. You could see it from the expressway, Ditkas off the Kennedy. And they go. And I'm up there and I see them and I wave to them. And it's about 15 minutes before the show. So they, my mom and dad get shown to their table. And there's eight other people. There were long tables, right? And it finally hit home with them because my mom goes, boy, this place is crowded. And my dad's having a cocktail and he's looking around. He goes, yeah, this is big. And I come over and say hi and everything else. And I shake hands with everybody at the table, even the people that I don't know. Like, thanks for coming. I used to be that way all the time anyway. I used to hug the listeners. I loved it because I got it. I was in retail. I know what they mean to us. Many don't. Many don't even know how they get paid. So I go back to the table with Ditka. And my mom goes, boy, there's a lot of people here to see Mike Ditka, isn't there? And some guy at the table goes, lady, I know you're Mike's mom, so I'm going to make this as plain and simple as possible. We're not here to see or hear Ditka. We're here to see and hear your son.
Wow.
And that's when my old man almost spit out his drink. He goes, and that's when it hit home to him.
Wow.
He goes, wait a minute. We can hear Ditka every night. Your son is the guy we came to see. And that's when it hit me.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story. And my mom listened to this because we're doing my autobiography soon and we're going to be doing the movie. And this COVID thing has really gotten in the way, but it's got, but my, that's going to be in the movie. And, but here's the weird thing. When Danny Lee, before he died, we interviewed him for 3 hours, which he complimented me. He said I was the only quadruple threat. And the author goes, the screenplay writer said, what do you mean? He goes, he didn't have a week off season. They go, what do you mean by that? If it was hockey season, he knew it. He knew everything about it. If it was baseball season, football season, he goes, he's the only guy that I never worried about. He always knew what he had to know about everything. And then the author, I mean, the screenplay writer goes and sees my mom. We go see my mom. They lay out pictures. You know how they do it. They go check the locations. And my mom goes, well, I have a good story that I never told Michael. Now, my mom's 91. And she's sitting there, and she's showing them photo albums, stuff like that, awards, newspaper clippings, which I got here, of course, and BB keeps everything. I had 4 scrapbooks of clippings over like a 30-year career, plus Emmys and all this other stuff. But my mom goes, I never told Michael this. And she told the story I just told you. I go, how could you not tell me that story till now when the movie people are here? How did you keep that from 1992 on? I didn't know if you wanted it. What are you talking about? It would have made me thrilled. You know what I mean? But that's how parents, you know, that's how they do it. She kept it to herself. That's how I found out about the story. She told the guy, the screenplay writer. Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah, good stuff. I loved it. And I said, Mom, you got to tell me stuff like that. That would have given me even more confidence. But she didn't. She goes, you didn't need confidence. Don't worry about it. If you're bad at a thousand things, but you're great at 3 or 4, you're set for life. People try to be good at everything. Just find 1, 2, or 3 good things. You know, whether you're a carpenter, whether you want to be this way, if you concentrate on trying to be 5 different things, you're not going to be 1 great thing, period.
All right, Mike. Before we finish up today, I have a new game I want to play with you.
I love when you bring up new games.
It's called Ryan Paces 8. Ryan Paces 8. I have 4 questions.
Okay.
And we're going to test how well you know the 8 quarterbacks that Ryan Pace has acquired since he became the Bears GM. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay, since he that he acquired or that he inherited?
Acquired. So no Jay Cutler. No Jay Cutler. But everybody after Cutler is fair game in this game.
David Fales.
David Fales is not fair game because he didn't play a game with the Bears.
But he was in on their taxi squad, so you don't want those guys. You want just guys that play.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we got Mitch. We got Glennon. We got Foles. We got, I'm trying to think who was with the team 4 years. We got Dalton. That's 4, right?
Right. I'll give you multiple choice, so you don't have to worry about thinking. I have multiple choice questions ready, so it won't be that.
Okay.
It won't be horrible. Won't be
so
impossible.
We got 4. Yep. Give me the multiple choice. I got 5. I'm not out to be a hero.
Okay. First question, which quarterback under Ryan Pace had the worst career record? A, Matt Barkley, B, Brian Hoyer, C, Mike Glennon, or D, Mitch Trubisky?
Do that again. Give me the 4 again.
Matt Barkley,
Brian
A,
Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, Mike Glennon, and Mitch Trubisky.
And which guy
had the worst career record in a Bears uniform?
I'm going to go with Matt Barkley.
That is correct. 1-5 back in 2016, and people think Mitch is bad.
Yeah. Well, no, people thought, I never thought Mitch was bad. People thought Foles was good.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, question 2. Who made the least starts under Ryan Pace from these four quarterbacks? A, Chase Daniel. B, Tyler Bray. C, Mike Lennon. Or D, Brian Hoyer.
Tyler Bray.
That is correct. Yes, he's yet to make a start. Yet to make a start. Who knows? Maybe next year he will. Why not at this point, right?
Yeah, why not? I don't know. I, you know what really gets me is they're paying Quinn like $30 million a year, and they didn't want to pay Mitch $10 million a year.
Right. And Mitch signed for $2.5 million on top of it.
Yeah, unbelievable. And they have two quarterbacks that nobody wants for $20 million. Unreal. Foles and Dalton's crazy. Okay. So far I'm on fire.
You are. Two more to go. You have a good chance here to go perfect. I don't want to jinx it, though. So here's question three.
Okay.
Who's been paid the most money in a Bears uniform? Is it A, Mitch Trubisky, B, Nick Foles, C, Mike Lennon, or D, Chase Daniel?
I'm going Glennon.
It's actually Mitch, believe it or not, but not by much. Glennon was paid
Was Glennon second?
He was actually third. Nick Foles will make $24 million. Nick Foles.
Wow.
$24 million over the 2 years he's been here.
Wow.
Mitch is at 29.1, and Mike Glennon, for a couple of games in 2017, Mike, got paid $18.5 million.
Wow. Unbelievable. And what's the last one, my friend?
Which quarterback posted the highest passer rating under Ryan Pace? I will warn you, this will be tricky. A, Nick Foles. B, Mitch Trubisky. C, Brian Hoyer. Or D, Chase Daniel?
Well, if you're going by Mitch Trubisky's the highest rated quarterback of all time, I think, for the Bears.
Correct.
So I'm going to just go with Mitch, but I'm sure it's a guy that didn't play as many games that, you know. Was I right about that?
You are right that Mitch has the highest in Bears history, but the guy with the highest passer rating under Ryan Pace is Brian Hoyer, 98 in 5 starts.
Wow. So we should have gone back and gotten him.
Right. Should have paid him $15 million.
Unreal.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on, and keep up the great work, of course, at the Ballroom, ESPN 1000, and Win Daily Sports. Let's do it again soon. Thank you so much.
I love you, buddy. Keep up the good work, man. And don't forget, tag all those great places I work at. They got to hear this.
Great talk there with Mike North, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mike North himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTaub, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Here are the Turtles!